If you would, I'll introduce the topic, but let's turn to Genesis 20, so you're already there when we start reading from that place here in a moment. Genesis chapter 20. I'll write down the topic for today, and hopefully your wheels will start turning, because I'm going to quiz you. Hopefully you'll participate when I quiz you. Today's topic, dreams. So I'm going to quiz you biblically, and then I'm going to quiz you personally. So the more you participate, the better this goes. There are some dreamers in your Bible. I mean, some big-time dreamers in your Bible. Some people that dreamed very important dreams. Can you think of some? Joseph. One of the major dreamers in the Bible. Joseph, very good. I was hoping somebody would say Nebuchadnezzar, yes. Oh, we all good?
Test. All right.
Test. Yep, there we go. Nebuchadnezzar, another dreamer in your Bible. How about another one? Pharaoh. Big dreamer in your Bible. Does anybody remember the two men that dreamed and Joseph interpreted their dreams? The chief butler and baker of Pharaoh. Yeah. Anybody else come to mind? How about New Testament? Can you think of any New Testament? I'm thinking of one in particular. Peter. There's another one I was thinking of. Yeah. Was that a dream? Or is that the angel of the Lord? I have to check on that one. How about Joseph? Husband of Mary? Being warned of God in a dream when they went to Egypt and they came out of Egypt. So, okay, we're starting off here. There's a lot of dreamers in your Bible. And if we were to go through those dreams, they were very, very informative. They're very, very important. A lot of the dreams of people in the Bible are prophetic. Something was told that would happen down the road. So we cannot get away from God used dreams. Would you agree? Okay, let's make this personal now. Anybody willing to tell us a dream that you have had that you actually remember? I hardly ever remember my dreams except for that first 5 seconds after you wake up. And then they just, has this happened to you all? You wake up and you remember where you were dreaming, and then it just goes like this. Wait a minute, wait, and it's gone. Most of my dreams are like that. There's every once in a while I will remember, but anybody willing to tell us a dream that you have had? Some people have reoccurring dreams. I can't say that I've had those that I remember. Anybody willing to share any of your dreams? And if you go down the road of bizarre, good. I want you to do that if you're willing to tell us a little bit about the bizarre nature. Go ahead, Andrew.
I dreamed we were playing baseball. This was many years ago. And I was still in Little League. And we played them, but in my dream, we beat them by a slaughter rule. And in real life, we didn't beat them by that much.
Andrew, this is really good that you're sharing this. Are you saying that the dream you had did not turn out to be true prophetically?
It didn't.
Yeah. There's something to that. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Ms. Judy.
I had the worst dream. This is a nightmare for me, and I'll never forget it. And it was so many years ago. I was running down a road, and the devil was behind me, and he was chasing me. I was terrified. And he got closer and closer. And just when he reached out to grab me, I screamed out Jesus' name, save me, and I woke up instantly. It bothers me to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I try not to think about that, and then you
just cried. I'm so sorry. Blame it on me. Isn't that, okay, another component of dreams that I'm glad that you're bringing up, they seem so real when they're happening. They seem so real. I have had dreams, and then I, much like you in that particular one, you wake up and you say, man, I'm glad that wasn't real. I won't give you specifics, but I have had dreams where I make really bad decisions during the dream, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't really do that for real. So, dreams. Does God use dreams today to speak to me and you? Audience participation.
We've got God's word here.
So you're saying no? Okay. Anybody else? He could if he wanted to. That's a good point. He doesn't, though. Yeah. Anybody else? Get any comments on that? Does God use dreams today to speak to people? You guys are playing right into my hands this morning. I'm going to read you something that I don't think calling this bizarre does it justice. So there is a woman. Beware about looking any more information up about this woman. Her name is Candace Simmons. Her husband is Brian Simmons. And Brian Simmons is the fellow that actually is responsible, largely in part, for the Passion Translation, one of the newest English translations of the, quote, the Bible. Put that in quotes when I say that. But his wife has gone on record, even pull up video, that said, she said, or he said, and she backed it up, she will have up to 7 dreams practically every night that reveal things to come either in their life or in the lives of places where they minister. So with that in mind, they travel around going to churches, and with that in mind, I'm going to read you from the account of Candace Simmons. She said, I'll read you what she said at another air quotes, church. The church is called Grace Center, and it's in Nashville. So here we go. When you hear the word grace, you'll understand that she's actually referring to the church that she's at. So here we go. Quote, "Well, I just had this dream, and it's not very odd that it's about the Song of Songs. That's the first thing we brought here to the house, but the Lord said, you are His beautiful song. I heard Him say that in a dream about grace." That's the place that she's at. "The song of His heart. You are the song of all songs. And when I awoke, I realized that we are in Nashville, the music city, and I thought, that's so appropriate here in Nashville. And the Lord said that although many beautiful songs are coming out of Nashville, this is my favorite. You, Grace Center, are the music in my heart. And the Lord said, you're the song I like to hear. You're like music to my ears. As I hear your heart singing to me, I love it. And as I hear you singing and rejoicing over one another, I love the sound that comes out of you. I love how you hear the song in each other's heart and sing it back to each other when it's been forgotten. And the Lord said, you're a house of friends." End quote. I'll pick it up after we say a few things about that. Did you notice she had the dream, and the dream is about these people that she's ministering to, or quote, ministering to, and multiple times, 3 or 4 times, she said, "and the Lord said," during the dream. And then that message is relayed to the people as if it's directly from God. Now, you see the danger in this? It gets more bizarre, so hold on to your seats. Quote, "And then I saw you in another dream as a professional hockey team, and you all had white on. I think it speaks of the leadership. I just want to encourage the leaders here. The Lord sees your heart. He sees what you're doing. He says He's bringing you greater glory, greater holiness into the house, and it's going to be imparted through the leadership. And He loves how you work together." End quote. So isn't that kind of strange? Though, had a dream about them being a hockey team? Dressed in white. Ready for some more bizarre. Quote, "I saw the Lord giving drones for Christmas to everyone. I heard the Lord say, God is upping your tracking system, giving this house a greater ability to see into the spiritual realm so that you're ahead of the game and you have a greater ability to see trouble coming and push it back and to stop it in its tracks. He says, no more. The devil is going to run from this place because you're going to know ahead of time what attack he wants to bring. And that's just by staying in the place of his love and singing those songs over one another, end quote. Okay, so now the Lord is giving drones for Christmas, and they mean something. See how it gets a little crazy, and then I'll keep going here, almost done here. Quote, and God's bringing more leaders to the table. I saw a big table and more leaders coming and just really enjoying each other. Not just coming to be a leader, but really respecting and loving one another and having a great time of fellowship around the table. Okay, so then I'm going to go on to the last one, end quote, go on to the last one. Quote, and my fourth dream, I saw God shutting the door. And I just proclaim, addictions are gone in Jesus' name. Some of you have struggled with addictions for so long, and I just see the Lord doing a work in you. If you have an addiction you've been fighting lately, I just say, the Lord's shutting the door on that. Even this morning, I just believe, I have faith to believe he's shutting that thing this day, so thank you, Lord, end quote. What do you think about all that? Miss Katie's shaking her head. What do you think about all that? Kind of crazy. Anybody else? Did somebody give her a drug test? Yeah, maybe they should. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, just a second, Pastor. Yeah. New age type of stuff, right, Andrew? Glad you brought that up. It matches a lot of the things that go on in that world. And Pastor? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And people who are there listening to this, I pulled up a video of her in another situation, and the people that were listening to her tell about these dreams were just going crazy. Like, this is great. Tell me more. So here I have some questions for you. Should we put any stock in the dreams that we have, or the dreams that other people have and they relate to us? Should there be anything that we should see of significance when we think about our dreams or when other people tell us about their dreams? Do they mean anything? Is God trying to speak to us through our dreams? And does God reveal things to people through dreams so that they actually can tell other people what God said? What would you say to all those questions? Yeah. And that's where it's dangerous is people do, Miss Katie brought up something really good, people do actually hear these things and then in their mind they are debating. Well, I have this, but then somebody told me this that has to do with their dream and they said that God said it. So you see how this can become very dangerous. So you all answered perfectly today. That we have God's completed word, therefore we don't need to depend on dreams. But I want to take some time to show you that there are places in the Bible where God did speak to people through dreams. So if you were here for our dispensational study, you know that there was things that God did in the past and the way he worked in the past that he does not work like that anymore, correct? So you got to keep that in mind as we go. If you go to Genesis 20... if you're not there already. Brother Andy, you have something there to...
I was just going to mention Revelation 22:18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man should add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague.
Boom.
Yeah. In this book. And then in verse 19, it occurred to me, I was thinking about the sin of blasphemy and the Holy Spirit, and it's very hard to identify what that is, but if you look at verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So,
yeah,
if that could show how serious God takes his word.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we always associate those verses with the other translations where people add and take away and change, right? I think you could actually match what we're talking about with dreams to that same thing. So that's a really good observation. Yeah, because people are adding to what God already said. Sorry, go ahead.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Very good. So let's take a look here. Let's look at some dreamers. We could spend a long time looking at all the dreams in the Bible. I'm only going to look at a couple, and then we'll look at some verses that actually clear things up about how God actually did use dreams at one time. Look at verse 1, Genesis 20. This is the first mention of a dream. First time anybody has a dream in the Bible. Verse 1, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abraham feared that would happen. Look at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Now notice the wording there. God came to Abimelech how? You can't get around that. God is going to speak to Abimelech in a dream. Verse 3. And said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this.'" Watch verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." And he goes on and tells him to restore the man his wife, and Abraham and Sarah. Sarah does not get defiled, and everything moves on as it should without any kind of interruption with the seed of Abraham, because that would have been a real mess. So we cannot deny that God spoke to Abimelech right here through what? A dream. So since God spoke to Abimelech through a dream, he must do the same thing today, right? Addie's shaking her head, no, that's right. We have this verse that we hit many, many times over. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And what's the rest of it say? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to put the divisions in your Bible. There is a place, there are places in the Bible where you cannot get around. God did speak to people through dreams. In this case, it was instructional. In other places, it's prophetic. You can't get around it. God did, past tense, did use dreams to speak to people. Let's keep going here. If you would, go to Genesis 37. One of the most prolific dreamers in the Bible, you all mentioned, is Joseph. Now, we're going to get some real insight here with Joseph. Not only in how God did things in the past, but how he actually does today. We can actually draw some parallels here. Look at Genesis 37 and go down there to verse 5. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." That's kind of strange, isn't it? It's a very odd dream. Essentially, what is Joseph saying to his brothers? You are bowing down to me, or should bow down to me, or will bow down to me. Kind of strange. Well, let's keep going. Verse 8. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams. This is very important. For his dreams and for what else? Okay, we get some real insight here. You are at a time in the Old Testament where, as far as we know, there is no written record of things that God said. In fact, who's the one that actually writes down and is the one that God used to give, ultimately, you and I today, the written record of what happened in Genesis 37 and the entire book of Genesis? Who's the guy that does that, folks? Moses. He's not alive yet. He's not alive until you get to the book of Exodus. He's not even born until the Israelites are in the land of Egypt. So you don't have a written record at this point in history where we're reading here. So before there was a written record, guess what God used to communicate to people? Can't get around it. He did do that in the past. Notice the connection, and this will be really important as we move on here. Notice the connection there in verse 8. It says, they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. That's really important you get that. This connection here, Joseph tells them. He speaks audibly what the dream was all about. And in time, what ultimately happened? That spoken word that Joseph spoke some 4,000 years ago eventually gets written down and recorded and translated, and we know that Joseph had a dream because he spoke it, and then eventually it was written down, right? Okay, let's go on here. Let's read verse 9. More dreams from Joseph. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Okay, make sure you get this. Did Joseph's brothers and his father ultimately come and bow down? So here's what you need to connect with dreams and dreams being verbalized with words. Oftentimes in the Bible, dreams are prophetic. And it starts here with Joseph. And did you notice it said over there they hated him for his dreams and his words? Why did they hate him, folks? Joseph, being a type of Christ, also hated for what he said. Why did they hate Joseph? It was as if Joseph was propping himself up above all of them, right? He's more important than them almost. But lo and behold, many years later, what do those brothers end up doing? They end up getting hungry. And because they're hungry, where do they go? They go to Egypt. That's where they can get food. And while they're in Egypt, who do they come in contact with? Joseph. And as things progress, ultimately, all of those brothers go, and what do? They bow down before Joseph. So Joseph's dreams, what do we say about dreams when they happen? Dreams come true, right? Joseph's dreams came to pass. And it wasn't anything that he thought of in his own mind. It was something that God, supernaturally, through a dream, revealed to him. And it actually happened. So, here's what I like to do. I want to write down a little progression here that we learned from Joseph. And I hope I can connect some things to why dreams are not important anymore, why the Word of God is what's important now. So, here we go. Joseph had a dream, and he's not the only one. Other people in the Bible, as you mentioned at the outset, had dreams. So that dream is verbalized. It's spoken. And then you'll see that Joseph, I'll take you over to another place here. Dreams are interpreted, and then dreams are ultimately fulfilled. Because God doesn't lie, does he? Like as you said, let God be true, every man a liar. Okay, go to Genesis 40, and I'll show you this. Genesis 40. You'll see how all this works, and then I'll connect this to, ultimately, how we have a written copy of God's Word today, where God has actually substituted dreams with something actually better. Look at verse 1. Here's where we get to Joseph not being the dreamer, but the interpreter of dreams. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. All right, here we go, verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord, his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Okay, what comes next is really, really, really important. These men don't know what their dreams mean, do they? And the reason why they don't know what their dreams mean is because there's no one to interpret them. Oh, but there is someone to interpret them. Look at what I'm in the middle of verse 8. Look what it says. And Joseph said unto them, don't miss this, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. All right, let's make sure we get this. So far, we've seen a few people have dreams. The dream is verbalized. The dream, now you'll see, it's interpreted and ultimately fulfilled. Sorry about that. But you'll see that Joseph interprets their dreams as you go on here. And if you look, verse 9 is where it starts. The chief butler actually goes, Joseph goes through and tells him some details about his dream and what it means. And you can go back and look at that. The chief butler gets an interpretation of his dream. And the chief baker gets the interpretation of his dream. And if you go on, you can look at the details, but for time's sake, if you look at verse 20, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Did Joseph's interpretations come to pass? Yes. So here's what God did. When these two men, the butler and the baker, had the dreams, God was showing them things to come. Prophetic, right? Joseph is the go-between, and he actually is the human agent that God uses to interpret. He verbalizes the interpretation, and what ultimately happens? The dreams come to pass. They are fulfilled. Okay, so I have to pause here. You can't get around. Joseph is the man that interpreted the dream, right? But let's back up here. Go back to verse 8, Genesis 40, verse 8. And if you look towards the end of that verse, or right in the middle, actually, Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to who? Belong to God. Okay, typology in your Old Testament. Make sure you get this. When you read about Joseph, you draw all kinds of parallels between him and Jesus Christ, correct? However, in this particular case, Joseph is the one that God uses to interpret the dreams. Guess who Joseph becomes a type of in this particular instance? Help me out. The Holy Spirit. Keep your finger here. Actually, we're not coming back to Genesis 40. We'll come back to the Old Testament. Real quick, go to John 16. John 16. Let me show you this, just so you don't think I'm making this up. John 16. John 14, John 16 give you a lot of good information about the role of the Holy Spirit today. Look at verse 13. I'm in John 16, verse 13. Actually, look at verse 12, because it'll help you out. This is Jesus talking. He says, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Oh, watch verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now watch the end. And he will show you what? He will show you things to come. Things to come would be prophecy. Things that haven't happened, but will happen. So when I write this word interpret up here, you need to understand Joseph is the man over there in Genesis 40 that interprets. But as you look back on that, you should realize that Joseph actually right there is a type of the Holy Spirit. So let me stop here and let's make this real personal. We've all said, and I'm going to show you the verses here in a minute. We've got just enough time. That we all said that God obviously used dreams in the past, right? But God does not use them today to speak to people because you got the complete written record of what God said. Okay, don't stop there because you need help in understanding these words that are on the page. Who's going to help you understand them? Don't you dare name your favorite preacher or Bible teacher. Don't do that. Who's going to help you understand what God said, folks? It's the Holy Spirit. This is why a person who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior can open the Bible and read, and it is as if, even though they're turning the pages, it's as if the book is closed. They walk away and they say, what in the world is that? They might get some basic historical information, and there might be some things that they get, but real spiritual truth that is needed will be lacking, because what does that person lack if they don't know the Lord? Folks, I think we need to all be reminded. I know I do. You'd be reminded on the regular, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives where? Inside you. And one of His many roles in being in you is to help you, to teach you, to guide you, so that when you open up the Bible, you can have the proper interpretation of what God actually said. The Holy Spirit will help you. Now, you can't get around. The Holy Spirit uses Bible teachers and preachers. Amen to that, right? Had a whole host along through the years that have helped me with that. But you know why God used them? Because in them is the same Holy Spirit that's in me. So God does use people to help minister His Word. But the purpose in God using people to help you understand God's Word, the purpose, and the reason why we spend a whole bunch of time going through principles of Bible study, is so that you, on your own, you and the Holy Spirit, can open up the Bible without anybody around and do what? You can get the proper interpretation of what God said. God can teach you without anybody being around to show you other than Him. Because what did Joseph say in Genesis 40, verse 8? You ought to mark that. Do not interpretations belong to... Didn't say your favorite teacher or preacher. It's God. So make sure you understand that the Holy Spirit, who is obviously God, God the Holy Spirit, is the one who interprets Scripture for you. Okay, let's go. I'm going to show you some verses here real quick. We got just enough time here. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Got just a few here, and then we'll wrap up in the New Testament, Lord willing. Numbers chapter 12. I think this one's a really good place to show it is. There is no doubt God did in the past use dreams to speak to people and even to prophesy, to give material prophetic in nature. So look at verse 1, Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed, now watch it, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Okay, with that as a little context, go down to verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a what? In a vision. And will speak unto him in a... You have God's word on it right there, folks. In the Old Testament, you have places, several that we don't have time to look at today, but we looked at a couple. But you have places where God, without a doubt, spoke to people through dreams. And you can put this one in here too. He mentions it. Visions. Moses was different because if you look at verse 7, it says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak how? Mouth to mouth. Moses had a unique relationship with the Lord. Others, besides Moses, God would speak to, but how would he speak to them? through dreams and visions. Can't get around that. In the past, God did use dreams. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings. I'm going to skip a few here, but let's go to 1 Kings. See if I got just enough time to finish up here. 1 Kings, chapter 3. Another man that God, without a doubt, spoke with in a dream. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. How? In a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And there's this whole conversation that takes place. If you skip on down, go down a few verses. I've got to find it. Verse 15. Verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, what was it? Yeah, and what you have is you have a conversation between the Lord and Solomon. And where does it all take place in all those verses? From verse 5 all the way down to through verse 14. It's all in a dream. Okay, I just want to hammer home the point. In the past, you can't deny God did use dreams to speak to people, right? Okay, go on to Job 33. Job 33. Job 33, verse 14. 33:14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Kind of interesting. You can't get around. Now, Job's likely the oldest book in the Bible, so this goes way back. And during this time, before there's a written record of what God said, how did God speak to people? You can't get around it. He used dreams. He used dreams in the past. Now, Jeremiah 23. We got two places left. Jeremiah 23. Look what God warned about. Jeremiah 23, verse 25. The Lord warned about certain dreamers. Jeremiah 23, 25. Jeremiah 23, start down there in verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said. And this is the Lord talking. You can look at verse 24. He starts speaking there. Or has been speaking. I have heard what the prophet said. That prophesy what? Lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. I have a dream. I wrote out in the margin of my Bible three letters that are the initials of someone. You can guess who that might be. You say, why would you do that? Keep going. Verse 26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy what? See, you have these preachers. I read you, I wouldn't call her a preacher for a second, but they feign themselves as preachers. And they say, let me tell you what God said about you in a dream of mine. And what is it? It sounded kind of flowery, didn't it? I mean, when I read it, I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. And you can get all sucked into that. But you know what that was? What did I read to you? It's a bunch of lies. So God knew there would be people that had dreams, told people that God said something in their dream, and it was nothing but a lie. Isn't that something? Go on here. Verse 20, at the end of 26, I didn't read that. Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. And I think that matches a lot of these so-called Bible teachers and preachers today that tell you, oh, the dream, God told me in a dream. Okay, let's wrap up here. 2 Peter 1, last place we'll go. 2 Peter chapter 1. So what I wrote up here is how God worked in the past. And you can't get around it. A person would have a dream. That dream would be verbalized. That dream would be interpreted. And so many Old Testament dreams are prophetic in nature. Ultimately, they would be fulfilled. Correct? Now, that's how God did it in time past. Right? That's how God did it in time past. How does God communicate His truth to us today? Now, you all know the basic answer, but let me give you the progression here right out of your Bible. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. 1:19, into the chapter here, last three verses. We have also a more, what's that next word? Sure word of prophecy. Now, if you look at the context is the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John heard God speak audibly. That's really interesting when you look at what he says here, a more sure word. Oh, let's keep going here. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Here we go. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And here's the progression. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here's your modern day progression. Here's how God has done it. There's nothing new that needs to be added to this. Holy men of God spake. Ultimately, it was written down what they spoke. Then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, interpretation takes place. And I know it all hasn't been fulfilled yet, but it will be in time. Just give the Lord enough time, and it will be fulfilled. So, this is how God has given us what He said without using any dreams in the modern day. Holy men of God spake, it was written down, it was interpreted, and it was fulfilled. Now, if you kind of backtrack here, you find out, hey, Joseph was a holy man of God. He spoke. Ultimately, his dreams were written down. Ultimately, his dreams were interpreted and fulfilled when we looked at the first dream that he had with his brothers and bowing down to him. So this is how God does it today. So I'll leave you with this. Trust what God has written, not your dreams or anybody else's dreams. Trust the Holy Spirit to help interpret what He wrote in your Bible. And even though everything in your Bible has not been fulfilled, you can trust that God will bring it to pass in time. And here's the last thing I'll leave you with. Beware of putting any stock in dreams you have. From the medical profession, here are some things that affect the content of your dreams. Sleep deprivation. If you only get a few hours of sleep a night, you might start having some really weird off-the-wall dreams. Anchovies, whatever food you eat before you go to bed, can have an effect on your dreams. Obviously, people who use different substances and then fall asleep, obviously the content of their dreams. I took Zyrtec for my allergies. I had the craziest, I had snake dreams, and I hate snakes. So I said, I'm never taking that again. So even over-the-counter medications you can take can have effect on your dreams. Sam could maybe tell us some insight on this. Pregnancy can affect the dreams that you have. So I say this because don't fall into the trap of waking up and saying, I had this dream, what does it mean? Let me let you in on a little secret. Ready? It doesn't mean anything. So don't put any worth into it. Don't put any stock into it. Instead, you want to know what God's wanting you to do, what He's telling you? Trust what He has written down through this progression here. All right? All right, went over here a little bit. Sorry about that. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us truth from Your Word. And I just pray that we would all be, during this time of great deception, that we would all be discerning. And we would do just as You tell us to do, to try the spirits and understand just exactly what You are doing, what is clearly from You and what is clearly not from You, so that we can run away from that as far as we possibly can. Help us here in this time as we have opportunity to worship You, to hear more from You. I pray that this would be a time where You are glorified and honored and our hearts would be open to receive Your truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name.